We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us this morning as we meditate upon a very instructive portion of Scripture which you've given us. And we pray that you prepare our hearts and make them receptive to it, that we may be instructed by you and follow the revealed will which you have given us in your precious word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live via the speakerphones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. We'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at the third part of verse 4, zeroing in now on the offering of Cain. In the King James, the verse reads this way: "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." And that's the section we're going to be looking at. A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. To set the stage. Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. And God evicted them from Eden. He put angels there, cherubims, to keep watch lest Adam and Eve would re-enter the garden and eat of the tree of life. So Adam and Eve are outside of the Garden of Eden now, and Eve became pregnant and bare Cain. Cain was the first child born into the world. Adam was his father. Eve was his mother. A short time later, the second child was born into the world, also a son. His name was Abel. Abel's father was Adam. His mother was Eve. Cain and Abel were brothers. They were blood brothers. Same father, same mother. They were also sinners, both of them. Both of them, by nature, members of the enemy camp. Rebels against God, actively opposing him. Loving the darkness and hating the light. Both Cain and Abel were standing on the same ground. Both Cain and Abel deserved nothing but to suffer eternally in hell. They were alike in so many ways, but they were different in one way. Abel was one of God's elect. Cain was not. Abel was one of those whom the Holy Spirit is talking about in Ephesians chapter 1, the opening verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. you will notice here that the praise goes exactly where it belongs, to the Father, the Son, and finally also the Holy Spirit. It was by grace. Pure grace. Now, the other side of the coin is Cain. Cain was a willful rejecter of God. He hated God because he wanted to. That was a choice that he made. He was numbered among those of whom the Son of God says in Matthew 23, beginning at verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And so we have a very, very clear teaching of Scripture. Jesus Christ holds out his arms to everybody. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, he says. The elect come to him, but that's only by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word. The children of the devil willfully choose to reject him, and they have no one to blame but themselves. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. The fact that Cain is going down to hell and Abel is going into heaven is Cain's own fault and nobody else's. He can't blame God for any of it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? These are the words of the Almighty God. We have trouble with them. The words were taken in context from a parable that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, and I'm going to read all of it, even though we've heard it. But knowing it is one thing and believing it is another. For the kingdom of heaven, the Son of God said, is like unto a man that is an householder. And he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, first of all, we've got to realize that the penny that he's talking about is not the 1 cent penny that we have in our pockets, which won't even buy a piece of gum anymore. Used to buy a penny postcard when I was young, but it doesn't anymore. It won't buy hardly anything. In those days, a penny was a very, very good wage. It was more than what a worker actually deserved. And the laborers agreed for that wage and to go out and work in the vineyard. He went out about the third hour. And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. They trusted the owner of the vineyard that he'd be fair with them. And again he went out about the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. We don't have a job. We can't get work. We want to, but we can't get any. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, there shall ye receive. I'm going to be fair with you guys. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against a good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. And I always had trouble with this parable when I was younger. It sounds to me like they've got a good case. They toil for 8, 10, 11 hours, 12 hours, some of it under the hot burning sun, and they sweat bullets. And somebody else comes out in the cool of the day, punches the clock, works for an hour, and they get the same wage. It doesn't seem fair. It never seemed fair to me. A union would never allow something like this in our day and age. But God answered, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? And remember, that was a very good wage, a very good wage. I gave you more than what you agreed with. We agreed to it, but I wouldn't have had to give you that much. You didn't have a job. You were standing idle in the marketplace like the other ones were. You didn't have any job. You can put food on the plate for your wife and children. I gave you a job, and I gave you a good wage. What are you complaining about? Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. And now the passage. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And this is the whole point of the parable. Not that God is unfair. The point of the parable is that God is much kinder than he would have to be. He didn't have to hire these guys. They didn't have any job. He gave them a job. He gave them a good wage. That was out of the goodness of his heart. And he was kind to all of the workers. We can say he was kinder to the last ones than he was the first ones, but that doesn't take away from the fact that the owner of the vineyard was good. And anybody who disagreed with that was evil. We've got to look at this in God's eyes. And this is the whole key to what we're talking about here. Cain and Abel both deserved to go into the hell. Neither one of the two deserved any good thing from God. It was only by the grace of God that Abel was chosen as one of God's elect. This shows the goodness of God. He didn't have to do that. Let's trace it back to the first generation, Adam and Eve. When they stood as enemies in the Garden of Eden, God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, that was a prophecy that God was going to offer salvation to the fallen human race. He was going to send his son into the world to die for the sins of the world. He didn't have to do that. God didn't offer that to the fallen angels. The angels that turned out to be wicked ones and followed Satan in the rebellion against God, God didn't offer them a second chance, and he didn't have to. They were consigned to ultimately live in hell in the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to offer Adam and Eve anything either. He didn't have to, and he didn't have to offer you or me anything either. He only did it out of the goodness of his heart. And Cain cannot rightfully condemn God and say, You elected Abel, but you didn't elect me. He can't say that. He didn't deserve anything good any more than Abel did. This all comes freely through God's grace. Why he chose some and others, he doesn't tell us. But he's not accountable to us either. You and I should be thankful to God that we are chosen among his elect, because we were no better than anyone else. Thank God. Thank the Father, thank the Son, and thank the Holy Ghost. Now, if every human being that ever has lived on the face of this earth would go to hell, this is exactly what we would expect. There would be no surprise here whatsoever. But the fact that anybody is saved, that's the big surprise. The flock is small, but it's there. And that's the surprise. Now let's look at how this played out in the offerings that these two men, Cain and Abel, brought to the Lord. And we're not going to go into detail on Abel's offering because we did that last week, but we have to mention it in comparison with what the offering was that Cain brought. Hebrews 11, chapter 4, in the beginning says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." This takes us back to Genesis 4, and we're going to read the opening verses again as we did last week. This is so important. This is setting the groundwork for everything else that follows. If we're not right with this, we're not going to be right with anything else. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Okay, Genesis 4. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man, the Lord." She thought that this was the promised seed. It wasn't. "And again she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Very early in earth history, that was extremely important. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Cain was upset, really upset. Cain is the first hypocrite that ever walked the face of the earth. First occurrences in the Bible are always very, very important. Sometimes we may not be able to figure out what the importance is, but it's there. You can bet on it. And a lot of times we can. There are a number of first occurrences here in the verses that we just read. One of them is that Cain and Abel were the first children born into the world. And Cain was number one, Abel, his brother, number two. Another first occurrence: Abel was the first shepherd mentioned in the Bible. He was a keeper of sheep. Another first occurrence: Cain was the first farmer in the world. He was a tiller of the ground. Another first occurrence: this was the first worship service recorded in Scripture, which makes it extremely important and instructive for you and for me. Both Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. To where did they bring it? The Bible doesn't tell us. My guess would be that it would be to the gateway of the Garden of Eden. That would be my guess. Waiting for the chance to get back into that garden and eat of the tree of life when the seed of the woman had crushed the head of the serpent. But this was the first worship service. They both brought an offering to the Lord. And another first occurrence here: Cain is the first hypocrite that walked the face of this earth. It shouldn't surprise you that, like Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel are representative people. They were two literal people, but they represented two different kinds of people in the church. They represented the two different kinds of people that we find in the visible church, and it's been that way from the very first worship service that was ever recorded in Scripture up until our own day, and it will be until the end. Cain, I believe, looked very good. He brought an offering to the Lord. He was not an atheist. He was a professed believer. He professed to worship God. He brought an offering. We're going to look at that offering in a minute. And he looked very, very good if you looked at him with human eyes. But he was one of a group of people that honor God with their lips and draw nigh with him, to him, but their hearts are far from him. And they think that they're paying God a compliment and giving him an offering, but they refuse to do it God's way. They pose as worshipers of God, but they live to please themselves. Abel is a representative of that little flock, God's elect. He was hated by his brother and finally murdered by him. He brought an offering according to God's way, not his own. And he felt his own sin. And he knew he had to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. And he fled to Jesus Christ for refuge. The two offerings that these brothers made, one by Cain, the other by Abel, revealed what was in their heart. We looked last week at the offering of Abel. Now we'll look at the offering of Cain. First mentioning what Abel did, then what Cain did. Abel's offering was in obedience to God's revealed will. Cain's was not. That's a big difference. God's revealed will, which he spoke by action, was in Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know the context. Adam and Eve were enemies of God. They were members of the enemy camp. They made armor for themselves out of fig leaves. And when God came walking into the garden in the cool of the day, they couldn't face him. They had to run and hide. What they did was not adequate. God had to do it for them. And so the Lord God made coats of skins. The skins came from an animal. Undoubtedly it was a lamb. Blood was shed. That's the key thing. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Okay. A difference again. Abel offered by faith. Cain did not. We found out before, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Abel can't say, I was better than Cain, and Abel wouldn't. The faith that he had was a gift from God, and it was given to him because Abel was one of God's elect. But it was a gift. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So Abel heard the word of God. Cain also heard it. Cain knew. Could have been revealed to both of them by God speaking to him one-on-one by himself. Could have been by the gospel and the stars. More than likely, it came through hearing the word of God through Adam and Eve, who were in the garden, and they heard the words that God spoke to the serpent. Romans 4:23 tells us this. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Remember that. We're going to look at that in a minute or two. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So both Cain and Abel heard the word. Abel obeyed it. Cain disobeyed it, rejected it. That's the difference. Another difference. Abel's sacrifice was a blood sacrifice, and it pointed to the time when the Son of God would die on the cross and give his life for the sins of the world. Abel's offering was not a blood sacrifice, and it did not point to Christ. A huge, huge difference. Another difference, Abel's offering was God-centered. He did it God's way. Cain's offering was man-centered. He did it man's way. There is nothing new under the sun. Jude 11 tells us this, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." What is the way of Cain? And remember, we're talking about church people here, professed believers. What is the way of Cain? Genesis 4, verse 3, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Cain was not an atheist. He believed that God existed. He was not irreligious. He was a church person. He came before God as a worshiper. He looked good, just like the Pharisees looked good. But he refused to do it God's way. By carefully noting the nature of this offering that Cain brought, we can learn four things. The first thing we learn is this. It was a bloodless offering. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Remember that. Cain's offering was of the fruit of the ground. There was no blood shed. Abel's was a lamb. There was the shedding of blood. Number two, it was merely the fruit of his labor, his own labor, not God's. We're going to look at that in a minute, but just to finish up here, number three, Cain deliberately ignored the command of God and the sentence that God pronounced upon the earth, "Cursed is the ground." That's Genesis 3:17. And number four, Cain despised the grace made known to him by his parents, probably, in Genesis 3:21, where God made coats of skins. Now let's look at the nature of Cain's offering. It says he brought of the fruit of the ground, and most of the commentators believe that Cain brought leftovers, and that he didn't take the best tomatoes, the best potatoes, the best carrots, but he brought leftovers. Now, this can happen. I don't believe it happened here, but it can happen. Listen to Malachi chapter 1. I'm beginning at verse 6. God is talking. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master," if you're calling me Lord, "where is my fear? Where is my obedience? Saith the Lord of hosts to you, O priests that despise my name." He's talking to church people. Not only church people, leaders in the church, the priests. "Ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" And God's answer, "Ye have offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the Lord's table is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil?" And that's what they were doing. They were going out into the flock, and here was a blind one, which they couldn't use anyway, so give it to God. "And if ye offer the lame or the sick, is it not evil?" Here's one that's getting ready to die anyway. We might as well, it's no good to us. Let's offer it to God. And God says, isn't that wrong? offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? You can't pay taxes that way. The government's not going to take that. You think I'm going to? Okay, so it's possible that Cain brought the worst that he had. But the Bible doesn't say that here. And I don't think that he did. It just says Cain brought his offering of the fruit of the ground. And the ground was under the curse. That's the point. Cursed be the ground for thy sake. And we all came from the dust of the ground. Now, when Cain's offering was rejected, he was upset. And I don't think he would have been upset if he'd have taken the smallest carrots and the smallest potatoes and the rotten tomatoes and offering them to God. Then he would have said, well, yeah, I probably got this coming. I don't think he did that. I think he took the best that he had. And cursed be the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. He had to work his tail off to till that ground and get a crop. And I believe he did, and I believe he worked hard. And I believe that in the sweat of his brow he got this stuff, and he brought it to God and thought that God would accept it. And when God didn't, he was upset. He was upset. Well, the truth of the matter is that God's standards are a lot higher than Cain's standards are. And sin is a lot more serious than what Cain thought it was. A tomato or a carrot is not going to do it. It's going to take the blood of none less than the Son of God himself. And what does the Bible have to say about Cain and about you and me by nature? Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, it doesn't look that way to us. We can have neighbors that are pure heathen people, and they can be outwardly very, very kind and compassionate. There is a moral goodness that even heathen people can have. It has nothing to do with goodness in the eyes of God. And we're going to be judged by God's standards, not our own. And Cain too. Oh boy. Little wonder that when God refused Cain's offering, he was upset. He was upset. The truth that we're being taught here is this, that by nature, we can't do anything good in the eyes of God. Now, Cain is brought forth to us as the first hypocrite. And when you look carefully at this, he's not the kind, gentle person that he at first seems to be. He refused to comply with God's way of doing it in his revealed word, and yet he cloaked his rebellion by coming to church as a worshiper of God. He would not do things God's way, and yet he brought an offering to him. He did not believe that his situation was so desperate that death was his rightful lot, and that he could only escape by another offering in his place. He sought to approach God with what he could do. This is called will worship. Now think of what this passage means. I'm in Romans chapter 14, 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Think of what that means. Think of what that means. Nothing that is done in faith Nothing that is not done in faith is any good. No matter what anybody does, if it's not done in faith, it's wicked in the eyes of God. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And the opposite, thank God, is also blessedly true. Whatever is of faith is not sin. It's a fruit of faith. It's an offering that God will accept. Cain is one of those who emphasizes will worship. He did it his own way. And this is what Jude is getting at, the way of Cain. The church of God has always been a mixed assembly, and I'm talking about the visible church. It's always been a mixed assembly. There are true believers in there, and there are hypocrites in there, and very often you and I cannot tell the difference. We can't tell the difference, but God can. I'm going to read Jude verse 11. There are three people mentioned there. Cain is the first one. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Cain, Balaam, Korah. This is bad company to keep. We don't want to walk down that road. A little word of warning here. We're going to shift the emphasis just a little bit. And what I'm thinking of is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. And I'm not going to spend much time on this. It starts this way. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Did I say this? Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, you've got people here who are elect children of God, and they are building on the right foundation. But they are building with different things. Gold, silver, precious stone, some of them build with, and others build with wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble can be burned up. The gold, silver, and precious stones can't. The verse continues that if any man's work which he hath built thereupon abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so as by fire. So we've got to be careful how we build on this foundation too. Doing it God's way instead of bringing in our own way of doing it, even though we may be elect children of God. It gets back to the means of grace. And this is how God offers us forgiveness of sins, and it's how he instructs us. He comes to us through baptism, the Lord's Supper, and his holy precious word. And I'm just going to close here a brief comment, which as I look back on my ministry has come as such a shocking surprise. The greatest ministry, the greatest battle that I faced in my ministry when I was in the organized church. Now, I was a member of the Wisconsin Synod, and I was a pastor in that organization for 22 years. And the greatest battle that I had to fight was not what you would expect it would be. The greatest battle that I had to fight was to get people to study their scriptures every day and grow in grace and knowledge. That was the greatest battle I had to fight. And some people are surprised at this. They say, well, the Wisconsin Synod believes that the Bible is the inspired word of God. No, they don't. They know it, but they don't believe it. They've got a head knowledge, most of them, but not a heart knowledge. This is the greatest battle that I had to fight. People fought this tooth and nail. And instead of preaching and teaching from the Word of God, they brought in these man-made things, pamphlets and other stuff that they brought in, watered-down things that people had wrote and men had written instead of going right back to Holy Scripture, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful right now that here at Water of Life, we don't have this battle. Everybody that's here believes in with their heart that the Bible is the Word of God, and they want to grow in grace and knowledge. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. We'll close on that note, and we'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for the clear instruction that you give us in your Word, and especially that you are giving us right here in Hebrews chapter 11, which is taking us back to the very opening chapters of Genesis and how we can approach our Lord God in the right way and be accepted, have our offerings accepted by him because they're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And we pray that for every single one of us, you would always keep us mindful of this key fact, and that everything we do in our life, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we may do it in faith to the honor and glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.